Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. Some people love personal space and need it to be happy. Others don't seem to have any concept of it or the importance of it that it has to their neighbors. Today, neighbors who have no concept of personal space on Nightmare Neighbors.
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That indeed it is. And yes, our phone number toll-free, 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Be sure to press the subscribe button, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Helps us grow in the rankings. Lets other folks know that, hey, this show exists. Today's episode, Tony and Carol Hughes joining you. Welcome to the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast, Carol.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It's a whole new
and
world of things.
At the same time.
Yeah, whole new world of things to talk about. So, it's exciting. Seeing some of these stories coming in, been getting quite a few over the last handful of days since I've reached out on social media. And of course, the phone calls as well. So 888-68-CRAZY. Is the phone number. And of course, we'll dive into some of our own nightmare neighbor stories. Of course,
I have had nightmare neighbors.
A lot of it will come up organically as we go through the stories. But initially on the first episode here with everybody who's hosting and co-hosting, I like to just kind of throw it out there and like, give me one of your best. And we'll go to that in just a little bit. First, let's jump into one of our first letters of the day. It says, I used to live in your average suburban neighborhood. All the houses were built close together, so you did not have much personal space. Our house was at the bottom of a small hill, and the house directly behind us was at the top of the hill. The hill will be important later. One lovely summer day, the last one we would have for a while, a new family moved into the house behind us. We immediately noticed that they had three big dogs, which was kind of strange because the backyard was tiny. About a month later, we were annoyed because the new neighbors left their dogs outside 24/7. The dogs obviously did not like living in the tiny backyard, so they barked and barked and barked. They never stopped. 2 a.m., barking. I cannot stress to you enough how much these poor dogs barked. One day, my mom finally went over and nicely asked if they could please bring the dogs in at night because we cannot sleep with them barking all night. The neighbor claimed the dogs just didn't like the dark. So she would put a light outside to help settle them down. Sounded weird, but if it works, who cares? Later that night, we were getting into bed and suddenly all our windows were illuminated with so much light it looked like a football stadium just opened in our backyard. Confused, we looked outside and the neighbor put four giant floodlights in the backyard facing directly towards our windows. It was not just a casual porch light. This shit was bright. We were all kind of frazzled, so we tried to ignore it and just go to bed. This went on for a few days. We even tried getting lights, light out curtains, but they did not help at all. So at this point, the dogs are still barking all night. Light bulbs with the power of the sun are shining in all of our windows all night. We're sleep deprived, not happy. My dad finally decides to go over to the neighbor's house to talk to them, explaining that the dogs are too loud, the lights are too bright, and none of us can sleep. The neighbors acted like nothing was wrong and slammed the door. About an hour later, I hear the doorbell ring. I answer the door, and there's a box on our porch with earplugs and sleep masks, along with a colorfully worded note about how there's no reason that we cannot sleep comfortably now. The passive-aggressive gift certainly did not help things. This meant war. My dad called animal control about the dogs, but apparently there was nothing they could do. However, the neighbors somehow found out about the call to animal control, and they were not happy. The next day, they had four new puppies. That's a total of seven dogs. Seven dogs in an extremely small backyard. As you can imagine, seven dogs turns into a whole lot of poop, but the lovely neighbors refused to pick up dog poop. It was summertime. It was hot outside, and a million piles of shit in the hot sun does not make for a pleasant smell. It got to the point that we could not even sit in our own backyard because it smelled so awful. Once again, my parents decided to confront the neighbors. Just like before, the neighbors just slammed the door in our faces. A few hours later, we saw the neighbor using a hose to wash all the poop down the hill directly into our yard. There was so much poop, you could not even see our grass. Our yard turned into a literal lake of shit. We could not use our backyard for the rest of summer. We ended up moving out of the house to save our sanity. I've never seen those awful neighbors ever again. Looking back now, I cannot believe my parents put up with those horrid people for as long as they did. How do you handle something like that shit show? Pardon the pun.
Well, they did what the only thing you could do.
Yeah.
So they tried talking to him, and then they went to authorities and reported him. I mean, and that's not your default, is to go to the authorities. But if you go to them and you, like, they don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
And if, stories like that bug me, too, because it involves animals that aren't being cared for properly.
Sure.
And, like, why even have them? That's what I don't get.
They're like spite pets.
Yeah, it's just, oh.
I don't know what I would do. I mean,
and how do they sleep when dogs are barking all night?
That's a good question. I mean, it's amazing how oblivious some people can be to their surroundings, though.
Well, they probably are all shit-faced drunk and passed out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder, you know, if there's some sort of abusive substances going on that they just don't care, you know, to that crazy level. I don't know if I'd be out there in the middle of the night chopping that fence down or putting a hole in the side of it so the dogs can run free. I mean, I wouldn't want to hurt the pets or anything, but at the same point, it's like they're probably better off getting out of that backyard than they would be staying in that backyard.
Well, I have before stolen a dog from somebody.
And how did that go?
I know, you're surprised. But I did a great job of it, and the dog ended up moving all the way to New York State.
Wow.
So yeah, the dog like moved a long ways away, and then they're like, they asked me about it. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So what happened?
I said, you mean the dog that you weren't feeding? Like they moved.
Okay.
And they still had the house. Well, these were my neighbors. They still had the house for some reason, but they had moved out. And so supposedly they said they were coming over every day.
Mm-hmm.
To feed the dog and water the dog. However, they weren't, because between me and two of my other neighbors, we were monitoring it every day and we were feeding the dog and watering the dog because
mm-hmm.
it never had any food. So when the guy confronted me, I'm like, you really want to have that conversation? Like, of course I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But you weren't feeding your dog. Of course I have no idea who took your dog.
Were they upset? Were they just kind of like, oh, whatever?
Oh, he threatened to sue me. And I'm like, for what?
Yeah.
I don't have your dog. Like, do you have video of me or something? And because I have kind of a public job, I didn't go do the dirty work myself. Like, we had it all figured out. It was sneaky.
It would have made a great headline.
But that dog ended up having the best life.
Yeah.
Like, it went on to be so loved and lived, like, I think to be 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that when you have an ongoing feud with a neighbor like that, you're the first person they're going to go after.
Sure.
Which kind is what happened to me. I didn't have an ongoing feud with them. It was just like, you're not feeding your damn dog.
Yeah. You were doing the humane thing.
Yeah. No. And we let it go 2 weeks before we officially put the plan in place.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if he would happen to be listening to this, so what? You don't leave your dog behind when you move.
Don't do that shit, because that's, yeah, that's far worse than what you did. You were doing the correct thing to help the animal.
I gave a dog a great life. Yeah. That's what I did.
It's crazy what people will do. And then expect
dog never had to sleep outside again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy neighbor stories. That's what we're looking for on the program. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number. Or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Next story says it starts out at the beginning of 2017. It had been a year since I graduated high school, and I had moved up to my mom's place to try and find myself, but felt more at home with my dad. So I moved back with him. We went through 2018 with smiles and a future for ourselves. Sometime during the middle of 2018, we got a couple of neighbors, crazy neighbor, I'll call him, a man who was probably around his mid to late 40s, and his mother, crazy neighbor's mother, who I'll refer to, who was in her late 60s. It slowly became clear that something wasn't right about crazy neighbor. He was always yelling at people and acting very standoffish to those walking to get the mail, and even being a creep to some of the other women who lived in the apartments. He'd always smoke outside as well, right in front of his door, and he knew and was told multiple times by the building managers and other neighbors that he could not smoke in that area. But he did not care, and our apartment managers are the worst, but that's another story. I should point out as well that Dad and I aren't living on the third floor of the building, while Crazy Neighbor and his mom are living on the bottom floor of the same building, and Crazy Neighbor's door is right in front of where Dad parks his truck. One morning, when my dad is getting ready to leave for work, he gets in his truck, starts it, begins to warm it up, and makes sure his music is playing. Crazy Neighbor started to attack my dad. He was trying to open the car door and fight my dad, and even tried to close it because he saw my dad's foot was hanging out of the door. Crazy Neighbor kept screaming and yelling at my dad to get off his property, even though neither he nor his mom owns the buildings. Dad was freaking out and yelling back at the Crazy Neighbor to leave him alone. My dad's a big man. He's smart, too. He noticed that the neighbor was trying to pin him inside the truck while Crazy Neighbor himself was between his truck and another person's car. So my dad started pushing back on the door and pushing back on the man. Crazy Neighbor suddenly stopped trying to fight my dad and walked back to his smoking spot on the stairs. My dad soon talked to the building managers after getting home from work and learned of other incidents reported on the Crazy Neighbor. The yelling at different people to get off his property, making threats to other neighbors, and making everyone feel unsafe. Most of the neighbors around us soon could not handle everything on top of Crazy Neighbor and moved to other places, including a good neighbor and her family. Almost a year after the incident with Dad and another time that COVID-19 was starting to grow more into a threat, I went shopping for groceries and other supplies as lockdowns and quarantines are being put into place. I was driving my dad's truck, and soon I parked in the parking lot. Dad came downstairs to help me bring the grocery bags inside, and I was left behind to grab the rest. Crazy Neighbor watched Dad go upstairs since he did not want to mess with him, but he started to yell at me. Crazy Neighbor said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" "Me? Just grabbing my groceries from the truck." "You need to leave." "But I live here." "No, you don't. Get the fuck off my property." I'm holding onto the grocery bags and trying to go up the stairs, but Crazy Neighbor keeps moving in front of me, making threats at me and calling me rude names. Dad heard the yelling and saw that his daughter was being yelled at by a guy making threats and was not happy. My dad, in a louder voice than Crazy Neighbor at the top of the stairs, "Hey, leave her alone." Crazy Neighbor says, "Get off my property. Use the other stairs. These are my stairs." I'm starting to get scared because I'm not a confrontational person, but I don't show that I was scared. I just gave Crazy Neighbor an annoyed look, then walked to the other staircase as a silver car pulled up and out stepped Crazy Neighbor's mom. She saw me walking away and going up the other stairs, and I could hear faintly, but not clear enough, he yelling at her son about what was reportedly told to them to be nice, not to smoke in the area, and that it wasn't their property. I make it upstairs. Dad quickly hugs me and asks if I'm okay. I told him I was shaken up, but I was all right. Our next door neighbor, the good neighbor woman, came up asking us if I was okay as well. I told her how Crazy Neighbor had been making her and her son feel unsafe in the building and that they wanted to. We're going to move pretty soon. The good neighbor woman told Dad and me that it might be a good idea to call the police, and we agreed. Since nothing too bad happened during my interaction with Crazy Neighbor, we called the non-emergency and told them what happened. I was still shaking and scared, so Dad let me call them on his phone. A cop soon came to the building and started talking with the Crazy Neighbor's mother and then talked a little bit to Crazy Neighbor. The officer then walked upstairs and told Dad and me that he promised he would leave us alone and that he needed to stop smoking in the area, as he was told multiple times not to. About 3 days later, go by. After Crazy Neighbor was yelling at me, and when the officer visited and the situation got worse, Crazy Neighbor was then yelling at everyone he could in the middle of the parking lot, people in their cars, people walking their dogs, and even children who were just walking and playing around the garden areas of the apartment complex. I was watching TV when I heard the yelling and saw the good neighbor woman and her son watching his ranting. The good neighbor woman was on the phone with the police and quickly filled me in on what was happening, and sure enough, not 2 minutes later, officers showed up. Crazy Neighbor sees them coming up, starts making threats to the officers, begging them to shoot and kill him, and even saying that he would kill anyone who came near him. The officers did not take any action on him, but I saw one of them take out a beanbag gun and have it on him just in case something happened. Crazy Neighbor soon saw that he was outnumbered when another car and two more officers showed up, so he said he would leave, and leave he did. Crazy Neighbor's mom soon walked over to the officers and explained to them that Crazy Neighbor was not supposed to be at the apartments and that he had had trouble with things before. Another officer came up to talk to myself and the good neighbor woman, and we have our statements of what Crazy Neighbor was saying and doing, and the officers told us that if something similar happens again, to call them and get things sorted. And that phone call happened just 2 weeks later. After 2 weeks of not hearing Crazy Neighbor's rants and seeing him on the stairs and not seeing his cigarette butts all over the ground, it happened. It was the middle of the night. Dad had just gone to bed. I decided to stay up and watch some TV. And before I could turn it on, I heard yelling from outside the door. It sounded distant, like it was from another building, but it was close enough that I could tell it was on the lower level of the building. So I opened the door, try and hear what was happening. At first, I thought it was another neighbor who was mad at their partner for some reason, but I quickly heard Crazy Neighbor's familiar voice. He was angry at his upstairs neighbor, the good neighbor woman, because he thought the music playing from good neighbor woman's video game was too loud, and he needed to stop stomping around. The good neighbor woman told Crazy Neighbor that he was not stomping on the floor, but said that he would turn the volume down and asked Crazy Neighbor if he'd stop yelling. I guess that meant a threat to Crazy Neighbor, because right after he was asked to be quiet, Crazy Neighbor punched and broke the window of the good neighbor man's apartment and punched him in the face before running back downstairs to his apartment. I run back inside my apartment, quickly tell Dad what was happening, so we both head outside to hear the good neighbor man calling the police and telling them what happened. I decide to head downstairs and ask if the good neighbor guy was okay. He said he was and told me about the window and getting punched over, supposedly stomping on the ground. I made sure he was okay before going back upstairs and waiting for about 10 minutes before two squad cars showed up with four officers total. One went upstairs to talk to the good neighbor man. Another went to try and talk to Crazy Neighbor. And the other two went to see reports on who they were going to talk to and who the person of interest was. The officer who went to try to talk to the Crazy Neighbor was soon met with threats and told once again to get off Crazy Neighbor's property. It was an hour-long standoff. More officers came, some with shields, pepper ball guns, beanbag rifles, and a few with real guns and stun guns. Crazy Neighbor kept yelling at the officers that they would have to kill him or leave his property. And even Crazy Neighbor's mom came in to try to tell her son to open the door and that the officers only wanted to talk to him, but Crazy Neighbor didn't have it. Half of all the officers that showed up came around the building and went through Crazy Neighbor's back door and were met face to face with him. There was a loud bang, and suddenly each of the officers were shouting, "Get on the ground, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest." The cops then dragged out crazy neighbor in handcuffs and leg restraints because he thought he could still fight the officers. And even in the car, he was making more threats and spitting on the officers, so they put a spit guard over his face. After another half an hour, the police left. Good neighbor man went to bed, but crazy neighbor mother was still outside on the phone with her daughter talking about what happened. I went down to talk with the crazy neighbor mother, keeping up a social distance of 6 feet, and asked if she was okay. Crazy neighbor mother then told me about how crazy neighbor was always threatening her and even hit her with one of his shoes, and that for months she had been sleeping in her van because she did not feel safe inside her own apartment. It was because of his own mental condition, drugs he was taking, and even drugs that she took when she was pregnant with him, causing his mental illness. I also learned that crazy neighbor had been doing other dangerous things, like walking in the middle of the freeway during high traffic, and even tried breaking into crazy neighbor mother's apartment because he forgot some things. I felt so bad for her and offered her a place to stay if she needed it. She declined, but told me that I was sweet that I came to talk to her and offer her help. She told me that even though that night was the last thing she wanted, she was happy that her son was being held in another place where she would not have to feel unsafe. But another 2 weeks passed. Crazy neighbor's mother came up to my apartment and thanked me for what I did and for taking or talking to her and asking her if she was okay. She told me that crazy neighbor would be in jail for a while and would not be allowed back near the building or he would be arrested for trespassing. I thanked her for coming up to see me. Then she went on with her day. I got curious later that night and looked him up on the city prison registry, and I found out that his charges, what his charges were. Crazy neighbor is charged with assault in the fourth degree, burglary in residential, malicious mischief in the second degree, and resisting arrest. I even found out the court date and thought about going, but because of quarantine, I'll not be able to. But I hope with him gone for the building and in jail, crazy neighbor can get the mental health support he needs, as well as drug abuse help as well. Hope you enjoyed the story about the crazy neighbor. I hope you all stay safe in the coming months. Well, I hope to God crazy neighbor stays away.
Well, there's so much to that because he is totally crazy.
Yeah.
But then, you know, with mental illness and any alcohol or drug abuse, mm-hmm. that just complicates the problem.
Yeah.
Then I feel so bad for like his mom. But then if you're the neighbor, it's like, this isn't fair to live like this. Yeah, I can feel sorry for you all day that you're dealing with this.
Yeah.
But so am I.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is so difficult to get help for anyone.
It is.
And you know, like whether it's drug addiction, alcoholism, mental health is really difficult to get anybody proper treatment, especially if you don't have money.
Yeah.
Even if you do have money,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to get good treatment.
Yeah, you're exactly
And then what
right.
do you do? You know, and like, that's terrifying. The cops show up and he's like, go ahead, shoot me.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrifying. You're living there. And I don't know, you know, it's not even easy. And I don't know, like, being the property management, but evicting people is kind of hard.
Sure.
It's not just like, hey, you out, and they just leave. It doesn't go like that.
No. It's a whole process of quite often a good period of time. Right now, with everything going on, it might not even be possible, because I know a lot of places have, like, eviction bans going
on,
period.
Yeah, right now you couldn't at all.
So, I mean, there's this shit's running wild right now, and it's... It works in the favor, unfortunately, of the crazy, and that's not a good thing. And from the mother's standpoint, obviously, I'm not the mother, and I unless you're in her shoes, it's hard to say what to do. So I can only give my sideline quarterbacking, from what I would say. But if someone's in that situation and you are fearing for your own life and it's not getting better, and you know nothing's going to get better by providing this person shelter and comfort, and you know that they're addicted or they're mentally ill or whatnot, and your own life is in danger, providing that shelter is not going to help that person get better. It's only going to end up with you dead and possibly others as well. Now, what is it going to take? I don't know. You know, and I'm not saying to be heartless and horrible and let them go be homeless, because that's not probably going to help anything either. But that's where we have to take a look at our system and go, we don't have anything in place for people who need the help unless you have Uber insurance or have Uber money. And most people, those are two options that do not exist. And that's why we have the problems that we have that get completely out of control, because there isn't those systems in place anymore for people to get that help. All those state hospitals and things like that, that we talk about, like on the ghost shows, where it's like, and this was this giant campus that was the state hospital. And folks who were suffering from these things used to go to those places. Now there's horror stories of treatment and things like that, but there's plenty where it was like, no, the treatment wasn't bad. It was a hell of a lot better than living under the bridge and walking in traffic every day. And it's like we should have a modern version of it. There should be, of all this time, I don't want to go back to what some of those places were like, but at this day and age, we cannot not have that sort of thing existing, because the alternative are these camps of people that are suffering from extreme mental illnesses, or they're a burden onto their families and their families are fearing for their lives and their neighbors are fearing for their lives. And there's nothing that can be done because the law is completely on the side of the person with the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. It's just that's not the right way to handle it. But that's the world that we currently live in.
So. Yeah, it's just tough. It's tough. Yeah. And I always feel so bad for the neighbors in that situation, because what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. Move. And that should not, you shouldn't have to move if you're being harassed in your house. And
well, you signed a lease too.
Yeah.
And you try to break a lease in an apartment complex. Holy cow. Yeah. Like, it's going to cost you a ton of money.
Exactly. And so people just become prisoner to whatever their surroundings are. And it's messed up. It is totally messed up.
Totally messed up.
If you have a crazy neighbor story, we want to hear it. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number. Or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Another letter, it says, my fiance ordered a delicious pizza on her phone app. It's some toppings along with mushrooms. The order was 2 2-liter bottles of Mr. Pibb Orange Fanta Soda. She got a notification the order was on its way and they would knock due to social distancing when they delivered the pizza while putting it at the front door of the apartment. She'd seen a man pull up in the parking lot, get out of his car, walking towards her apartment door. Now, there's not an exact sight from the upstairs to our door, but he was about 4 feet off our door. Food was dropped off because when he was walking back, he was holding nothing. He walked back to his car. She waited for him to leave, so it was not awkward. And when he left, she opened the door and nothing was there. She checked around the corner, but 5 minutes go by. Her phone dings to tell her the order was complete and they hope we enjoy it. She calls the pizza place and explains that the order was not at the door. Driver claims he dropped it off at the right address, which I believe. After 10 minutes of the phone conversation, they started another order for replacement. My fiance went out of her car for something, and when coming back to the apartment, our next door neighbor was sitting on their porch eating a slice of pizza. Now, what the fuck is the possibility that they ordered at the same time as us and got it delivered and all that? And ours is mysteriously missing. I don't know if I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. Well, there you go. There's a...
That is shitty. so shitty.
There is that possibility that it was just a, you know, miscommunication, thinking, oh, there's my pizza. They put it at the wrong place. No big deal. I'm just going to pick it up. But ordering the exact same thing though, when you open up the pizza, you go, well, this isn't my pizza. Or maybe you could assume they messed up the order and you're just going to eat it anyhow. Or they just stole the damn pizza.
If you call the pizza place, then they would say, oh, interesting, we had two orders about the same location.
Sure.
They would know.
Yeah.
And if I ordered from Pizza Hut and I'm eating the Papa John's pizza.
Yeah.
I know that ain't my pizza. because I didn't order that.
Yeah.
No, it makes me think somebody just stole it.
What I think is kind of one of the more amusing portions. God,
like the whole COVID-19 / coronavirus crap isn't bad enough.
Yeah. It's interesting that they had the gumption to go out onto their porch and eat the pizza too. It's like, if you're going to steal the pizza, if you're that desperate, you're stealing someone's pizza next door. I think, you know, shut the door, shut the curtain, go into a room that doesn't have ventilation that could possibly smell like pizza into the hallway. And I guess
that's you and me.
Yeah.
If we were thieves, that's how we would do it.
But we wouldn't do it to begin with.
No, yeah. But people, they don't give no shits because yeah. It's like, yeah, what? I ordered pizza. Prove it. You know, there are people who are like that.
It's just so messed up.
They just don't care.
Has COVID brought out, because you see, you know, some things on social media, like, oh, we're seeing so much good in people. Has it brought out more good in people, or has it brought out more shit in people?
I think, because we're in week, like, 500 right now.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. And I don't know how many weeks it's been, maybe 5.
Yeah.
Of the stay-at-home order where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, everybody's like, we're in this together.
I'm so sick of hearing that.
If one more person says that, I'm going to punch him.
I know.
I don't feel together when I'm sitting in my house by myself or when I'm wearing a mask to go buy groceries. You know, I don't feel too together. Anyway, at first, it was more of that. Like, but we're all going through this. You know, there's no exceptions. And now I think it's just people are getting really tired of it.
Yeah.
And they're kind of turning into assholes. And it's like, I'm tired of staying home. I'm tired of not going to church. And we're just going to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
And that I've seen a lot of where I live lately.
Yeah. I'm seeing it a lot in my neighborhood.
But I also do understand we are in that together. We're all tired of it.
Sure. Everyone is, but it only works, this whole together bullshit, is if everybody sticks with the bullshit, with what we're supposed to be doing. You can't like, well, I'm going to take things into for my neighbors right now. I can tell it's been enough for them now. They were barely doing it to begin with. So they maybe followed the rules for 2 weeks and now they're like having garage parties and the kids are throwing the same ball around everywhere and they're sitting 2 feet away from each other on their lawn chairs with like 12 of them. And it's just like, look, you can't do this shit right now. I'm sorry. I get it. We all wish, you know, I mean, I don't. I hate people. So
you're good with it.
But I get people who are social. They miss that. I understand it. Sure.
Yeah.
But you have enough sense to go, I can't put 12 people into my driveway at a foot apart right now, as much as you'd like to.
Like, my friends had a backyard party where we all sat around outside. We all took our own beer.
Yeah.
And I didn't even use our bathroom.
Sure.
You know, so we're all spread out. There was like 6 of us in the backyard.
Yeah.
To me, like, okay, you can do that. And these are also people who are all working from home. And in fact, all of those people are doing the grocery delivery.
Yeah.
So if they should be scared of anyone, it's me. I'm the one who has to go to work.
Yeah. And if it's done in a sensible way, I wouldn't be so like, what the fuck? But these people, I'm sitting out on my front porch watching this, and they're just all like right next to each other. It's like, why don't you just go into your house if you're going to do this shit? Because you're not apart from each other. You have one kid that's like literally running around from person to person, handing a pet from person to person. You're all tossing the same ball around.
Handing the coronavirus from person to person.
It's just like, look, you can't, either you do this or you don't. I mean, it's like this half-assed version of it. And I get everybody's frustrated, but look, it is what it is. Either do it or don't. And if you're not, then have everybody in the house and lick each other, you know, whatever the fuck you want to do. But it's just like, what the fuck, you know?
And it's the same thing with people wanting to go to church. I understand that.
Yeah.
People want to go to church. I get that. You know, that's a community. of people you're a part of, and worshiping with them is important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're going there and being in a group of 200 people without social distancing, and then you're going to the same grocery store I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I happen to stop by the tomatoes right when you did.
Yeah.
You know, that's putting other people's lives in danger.
You can't pray away this virus. Now, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not insulting religion, but that's not going to be the cure. And it's one of those things where if you are religious and you believe in God and you believe in all that, he gave you a fucking brain. How about you try using it? Because I don't go for this whole, I miss it. Yeah. Well, you know what? There's a lot of suffering and things in the Bible too. And this, you know, really pales in comparison to a lot of shit that people suffered in the Bible. So how about you use that gift, that brain, and don't be selfish about it.
I truly feel like Jesus would not want you spreading.
No.
An illness that, like, one of my close friends had it, and it almost killed him. Like, it was really hard on him.
Yeah.
And I know a couple other people who had it, wasn't as bad. One girl I know, her father-in-law got it. He died, you know? And so there's, and heck, if you're in New York City, I think probably everybody there knows somebody.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's just about it is about community, but bigger than your own church community.
Yeah. It's just, please be
But I
sensible.
Understand it. Like, everybody's getting burned out on it. But don't go stealing people's pizza. God.
Yeah. We're not there yet. We're not to the point where we should be stealing pizza yet. Give it a couple more
weeks. Here's the other thing. Like, people are like, yeah, well, they'll call whatever pizza place it was and they'll bring them another pizza.
Thinking,
but that's still stealing.
It is, because like, then the pizza company's out money and they're already dealing with shit. I know. It's like, it's like, oh, it's a victimless crime. No, it's not. Somebody at the end of the day has to pay for your bullshit.
And like, these poor restaurants are trying so hard to stay open.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, it's a crazy, crazy, wonderful time that we're going through right now. But great time to bitch about your neighbors. That's why we created the podcast. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number, or write in at nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. Let your friends know that this show exists. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Press subscribe. And yeah, we got new episodes for you every single week. As long as you guys send in your stories, 888-68-CRAZY or nightmareneighbors.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.